B-Pod Studios.
Can you feel it? Really exciting, right?
Woo! Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, radio show time.
All right, well,
radio show time.
Zoe
put the headphones
remember something
on.
That happened 2 weeks ago.
What's that?
Zoe can't remember something that happened 2 weeks ago.
I had a bad morning.
What happened?
What happened to you this morning?
No, nothing
happened.
Happened
two weeks ago?
He gave me a ride. I dropped my truck off one morning.
Right.
I told him, so I brought
it's
in
there by McDonald's.
I got to pick it up this afternoon.
By Florian Hall.
And he was like, I don't remember. I'm like, you picked me up. You gave me a ride into work from the dealership. It was 2 weeks ago. I don't remember that at all.
I do so many nice things for so many people.
It feels like it was longer than 2 weeks ago, though.
It is, yes. Thank you, Pete.
Because I was the one that drove you back to the dealership.
Thank you.
That's right. That's right.
Thank you.
What day was that? It was like 3 weeks ago.
Beetle, is there any way you could drive up here today and then drive me back this afternoon?
If that's what you need, I'll do it for you.
Thanks, Bob.
Oh, that's right, because you said you drive this thing like you don't own it.
I said that to you.
You did.
Driving your Tahoe.
Yes. That's because he doesn't own it.
I learned to drive from Beetle. Beetle taught me how to drive.
Yeah,
no.
But
No. You don't drive like me.
No, Beetle used to drive like Beetle. Then there was a long time when he was scared He was scared straight Beetle, but I think he's back.
I'm absolutely back.
Yeah, absolutely what?
Back. I've never left.
No,
I never left.
You did leave for a while.
I don't know what you're talking about. I never left, baby.
Yes, you did. I've driven with you through various stages, and after your fender bender,
Houston was awesome.
You took it easy for a while.
Please don't call it that. The legal team does not like it when you call it that.
The legal team.
They do not appreciate that whatsoever.
And then for whatever reason this morning, I recalled something Fred and Rich were talking about like 2 days ago. They mentioned the Mick Jagger, David Bowie dancing in the streets video.
Oh, yeah, that was some creepy stuff.
So I didn't really remember that. And I got stuck to it. I'm like, what the hell? I'll pull it up.
Haven't you listened to the version that Hardy and I like to listen to, which is where they like remove all the?
It's bad.
They remove
like,
all
no,
the.
No, it makes
music.
You. It makes you think. Like, what's wrong with these two? It took you to Rock Me Tonight, like stage.
Oh,
yeah.
Why'd you have a bad morning? What's your
just
problem?
Just that. It's just that it didn't make you feel good watching that. Like these are like supposed to be two legends. It was really bad.
I'm sorry.
That's all. I'm like, wow, that was bad. Fred was right. Fred's like, that'll make you think. Like, ooh.
Rethink.
Yeah.
Rethink what?
That one doesn't have rhythm when he thinks he does. The other guy's checked in, checking out. I don't know. I'm just going to do this. The other guy's putting everything into it. Like, mix. Like, ooh. Mix really bad.
I think it's the slight undertones of homoeroticism that make you uncomfortable.
No, no. What,
I think
what does
that's
that
what it is.
Would you call them slight undertones? Is that accurate?
Okay. Major
tones.
Major overtones.
Overtones.
Why has everybody got cupcakes?
There's some celebration here today.
Yeah, it's the 60th anniversary of the company. That's what it is.
And there are cupcakes.
How about some lunch?
Lunch be good.
Lunch be better.
We should get some food.
Yeah. If you want to bring food in for our celebration today that we're having.
60th anniversary pizzas, preferably.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you, T-Bone. I was about to ask for it.
I'd rather
Thank
do
you.
That than talk about Jackie Bradley Jr.
What? Not excited about his return?
I couldn't
you're
have been
excited
more excited about,
JBJ? About
a single player's departure.
You're not excited about them?
Effing years here.
Getting him back to the things that he used to do, according to Hein Bloom last night? They're gonna fix Jackie Bradley Jr. That's what they're going to do. After he hit .163 last year, they're going to fix that guy.
I'm good. I want reasons to watch this team. Really.
I've seen Jackie
Bradley. It's such a turnoff, isn't it?
It's such a
turnoff. It's a turnoff. It's a 100% turnoff. Milken, don't even turn your mic on. This is a turnoff.
No,
you couldn't have drove this guy to the airport fast enough.
I want Milken's input on this, but honestly,
he's going to spin a positive. There's no way you could spin this from a positive standpoint.
I don't know how you spin it other than they're just making moves. They haven't gotten any better. If anything, maybe a little bit worse. I don't.
Not only that. So, you know, I've sort of gotten on them for not spending money, and I think that's oversimplifying it. They're spending money. they're bringing in players that cost money. Jackie Bradley costs money.
$12 million, right?
I think it's 9.5. I might be wrong on that.
That's correct, Beal.
Okay. These guys do cost money. I just don't like the guys they're bringing in. I think they're spending their money poorly is what they're doing. That's what I've now settled on.
Tom, get that ready.
Yeah. Michael Wacha is making money. What do you have to get ready?
Oh, the fart noise.
Oh, for the Red Sox offseason?
No, for when Milken brings up his points. It's weird. He plays that fart noise. It's funny.
I don't know what you're talking about. I've never played that.
you just got your finger on the button.
Oh, it's on it.
Yeah, so maybe it's not necessarily about money anymore. It's about the fact that I just don't like what they're doing. I just don't like any of these. I feel like they're going to spend money and spend it on like these, again, these reclamation projects, risky, but potentially high reward type players. That's what I think they're doing. And I think it sucks. I think it's not the way to go about doing it. I'm just not enjoying any of their offseason. I don't like it. And Jackie Bradley Jr., what are we doing? What is happening? I never thought I'd see that happen, but here we are a year later. A year after they let him walk out the door, and he had a terrible year, they then go and trade for him. And I know there are prospects involved. I understand that part of it. But, man, as far as 2021 goes, what a turnoff. Oh,
what a big yuck before the lockout, huh?
Oh, yeah. Ooh. There it is.
There it is.
There it is.
Tyler, are they doing anything that's making them better? Or are they just making moves for the sake of
moves? Get ready for it.
I think the first thing is when you look at the deal, Jackie Bradley Jr. isn't the deal. You know what I mean? It's Alex Pinales.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow.
It's Alex Pinales, who third round pick last year in the draft. Big power guy, lower minors, came in this year into pro ball and really swung the bat well. They also got David Hamilton, another guy. He stole 52 bags last year between high A and double A. I think with Jackie Bradley Jr. here, and what kind of surprises me, I understand not being excited about JBJ. I don't consider myself a big JBJ guy either.
Right.
I wanted him gone last year as well.
All right.
No, but you got to look at the deal for what it is. Hunter Renfroe, we all wanted them to sell high. This is selling high in terms of the prospects you got back. There are two guys that are going to profile probably in that 10 to 20 area in the system. You know, it's already a top 10 system, so this gives them more depth. I think you're just looking at Jackie Bradley Jr. Listen, Hunter Renfroe, he was a 1.8 F-war player last year. Fine. You know, it was a great 30 home run season. We all saw it.
Of course. Yep. Yeah, we watched him in the playoffs. We know he sucked at the end.
The defense,
we were happy to see him go.
Fell off a cliff.
No problem with them trading Hunter Renfroe. I wanted him traded too. I was right there with you.
Yes. And exactly. We all talked about that. But with Jackie Bradley.
So this is all I want now. This is what I want, Milliken. They are clearly not committing financial resources to long term contracts, is what they're not doing.
Yeah,
they're committing money. But they're doing it on a short-term basis.
I think that deal,
whether it's Paxton or Wacha or Jackie Bradley Jr.'s deal, there's money in all of these deals, but none of them are for more than basically next year.
Besides James Paxton.
Right. And they're not using their financial abilities to sign, let's say, going after Gausman or going after, if you wanted an outfielder, you could have gone after Starling Marte. They're not doing those things. I don't think they're in on those players. I would rather they be in on those types of players, but they're not. And so if their plan here is to maximize whatever pieces they have on this roster to continue to do what they did last night, which is bring in two good, you know, I don't think they're top prospects, but they're decent, right? They're good pieces.
Yeah, good prospects.
Good prospects. And they're just going to stockpile in the farm system and they're going to build through the farm system. Well, then that's what they're doing. And we need to recognize that and not pretend like the Red Sox are going to spend their money in a way that actually brings in higher priced, bigger commitment free agents. They're just not going to do it.
I think they're going to pick their spots with it. I still think there's a deal like that, whether it's the Kyle Schwarbers of the world, Nick Castellanos, someone along in that range. I still think a deal like that is coming because you got to replace the Hunter Renfroe production. But I think going back to the Jackie Bradley trade as a whole, the reason why I think the Chaim Bloom and the Red Sox went and looked at it this way is you got two prospects back. That was the main part of the deal. We were looking for them to sell high. They got you some good pieces. A guy like Hunter Renfroe does not have much value on the market, especially considering his salary was jumping up to $7 million this year. But you get Jackie Bradley Jr. Listen, even when Jackie Bradley Jr. was, you know, disappointing Jackie Bradley Jr. that annoyed everyone and everyone got frustrated, even that with his defense had more value on a seasonal basis than what Hunter Renfro did last year.
Did the Brewers unload Jackie Bradley Jr. in this deal? They wanted him gone.
Yes. That was the whole point of the deal. That's why they gave up the prospects with it.
But that's why they got what they got as a return, because the Brewers said, you know what? A year after signing this guy, that was a mistake. We want him gone.
I think they looked at it too. It didn't really just fit their team at the time. There wasn't much room for him when the season started last year. People forget that. Well, Lorenzo Cain, they more tried to take advantage of the market. I think with Jackie Bradley Jr., though, the chances he's the 163 guy, I don't think they're likely. And I don't think he's 2020
guy. Oh, no, no. He's definitely the 220 guy. Don't worry.
Exactly. A slightly below average kind of hitter.
220. He'll be a guy who hits 220. Book it right now.
It's a slightly below average offensive profile with amazing defense. We know that. But still, that has a lot of value.
It's so nice how you say that. Guy who sucks at the plate, slightly below average offensive profile.
He is.
Isn't it awesome what the nerds do?
No, what? What are you fighting? Beetle, it's something along the lines. You complain about the defense and you want the defense to get better. They're bringing in a guy in Jackie Bradley Jr. It'll be like a Kevin Kiermaier-esque type of acquisition here where you're going to hope for the defense. He doesn't need to be a great hitter. He's going to be at the very bottom of your lineup. But does that let you improve your outfield defense? It allows you to take someone like Kike Hernandez and move them to second base, improve your infield defense. Help Xander Bogaerts out there, who Eduardo Rodriguez had a nice message for yesterday. Speaking of that, but we'll get to that later. And then Christian Arroyo gets to move back into a utility role. It makes sense on some levels. I just think if you're looking at it, what's more likely? Jackie Bradley Jr. being the player he's been for a majority of his career, or Hunter Renfro being the player he was last year? You'd bet on Jackie Bradley Jr. And I think at that rate, he's going to be a fine center fielder. He may not play every single day, but you're going to get plus defense, and this is a way to help their pitching out. I think it's a fine move. I don't think it's anything to go nuts for, but I think what it leads to and what it points to in spending is what you should be excited for.
No, tell me, Milliken, out of the names the Red Sox have brought in, who's the most impressive name? Walker, Paxton, Rich Hill, Jackie Bradley Jr. Which one blows you away?
The one that I probably like the most is a pure deal, is the Paxton deal, but I don't mean that for 2022. I think it's a good deal that shows that, hey, we made a mistake on Eduardo Rodriguez, which, you know, I've said that right when the deal happened.
Who they still haven't replaced.
I think it could still come in trade. I don't think if Rich Hill is that guy, I think you can get by. You're going to need another starter come the deadline. But no, Rich Hill was a 3.86 ERA guy last year. He can give you innings. I just personally, for me, that's the one thing about this offseason that I've kind of not loved. I think you need a little bit more in that three spot. And some people have pointed the prospects you brought in right now. Jaron Duran is something like Bobby Dalbec, moving off a guy like that. I'd love to see a trade for a number three with those guys if you can pull it
off. Oh, moving on from some of the prospects, from Jaron Duran and Dalbec is what you're saying.
Yes, and I think that's one of the things why they're netting some prospects back here. I think they're building up the middle of that farm system a little bit.
To make a deal.
That's how I see it. I still think there's some moves to come. I'd say at least two.
So you agree they need to replace Eduardo Rodriguez and they need a number three starter?
Personally, yeah, I think you need
more. Good, I'm glad we can all agree on that. Does everyone here agree on that? I think we do.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay, everybody, thank you. I think we all agree on that. Oh, and by the way, baseball locked out last night. Not that was all that surprising, but now it's shut down. No more signings, no more deals, no more nothing, no more Rule 5 draft. It's all shut down. Shut it down. Baseball is done for the winter. Oh, boy. It's now radio silence on baseball. So that was what the Red Sox were able to do. Just in the nick of time, they were able to bring back Jackie Bradley Jr. last night.
That'll get
Welcome you home, JBJ. Welcome home. 617-779-0985. We'll get to your calls on that. Kyle Duggar is in COVID protocol for the Patriots. That's not good news for the Pats going to Buffalo on Monday night, but he still may play. We'll talk about that coming up. And we'll also talk to Ime Udoka, Celtics head coach at 10:50.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Drive home with Felger and Matt. Right now, Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And Joku slots right, a tight end covered by Duggar. Shotgun snap is back to Mayfield. He fires to the right, passes intercepted. Duggar has it. Down the left side, 30, to the 20, to the 15, 10, tight roping. It's stepping out of bounds at the Cleveland 4-yard line. Nearly another as it is. The Patriots are set up beautifully.
Fantastic anticipation by Duggar, but it's boneheaded by the route structure of Cleveland. They get two guys in the same spot. Mayfield gives it away where he's looking, and it gives the safety enough time to undercut this ball and set you up first and goal inside the 10.
Zolak and Bertrand at 10:22-ish here on the Sports Hub.
Yeah.
Go to our website, 98.5thesportshub.com. Yes, so.
What? No, Hardy noise? Said, boo.
I said, yeah.
Hardy said, boo.
Oh, I thought you said something.
No, it was Hardy. Sorry.
You're having a little meeting there?
Yeah, Schmatz was in telling me how good Catholic Memorial is.
Zoe didn't know what CM was.
I didn't know what CM was. But
you're about to find out.
We're going to find out. For it? I never heard of
him. Tonight. What time is that game?
8:00. But like I've heard of Zavarian and obviously Fian and St. John's Prep and that.
What about BC High?
BC High, same. Yeah, heard of them as well. Never heard of Catholic Memorial.
Well, I don't think Catholic Memorial is known for their football.
They are now. They're loaded.
Hockey historically, yeah. but
I guess it's all shifted. Schmatz was giving me the lowdown. It shifts like regularly.
What does?
Like where the powerful one is, whether it's Zavarian or it'll shift to Bishop Fian one year or. St. John's Prep, but he said it's shifted. Everybody's going to – they're trying
– Sometimes it's BC High.
So well, CM is his CM really is focused on recruiting never. For football?
Yeah, they got the old Everett coach. I think it's John DiBiazzo.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah. Is he a firefighter?
Dude, I did a Super Bowls when I was doing the Super Bowls, what, 8-10 years ago, when Everett was in them. It was Jordan Tolman in them, right? Todman? Was it Jordan Todman was his big back? He had a couple big backs. I remember him. Good coach.
Hmm.
So,
well, that's good.
Big underdog. We're big underdogs.
For CM.
Big.
You're
one.
Big underdogs, huh?
Yeah.
CM's going to smash you.
Probably. We'll see.
What's the line on the game?
They average 46 a game. We average about 26.
Well, I'm just talking about, you know, can we get a few bucks on this thing?
They're 12-0. They're ranked number one in everybody's power rankings.
We're local bookies, give us a ring. You don't have to reveal who you are. 617-779.
Right.
0985. Give me a line on that game.
You can get down there, send any Vise, squirt any Vise in the water bottles. We'd appreciate it.
CMKP. Give me a line on that.
Big one tonight.
What are the other games today? I saw some of the highlights from last night. I saw Randolph won on a blocked punt that they took back for a touchdown.
Swampscott won.
Actually, it wasn't even a blocked punt. The kid punted it off the back of the helmet of one of his teammates.
That's always a fun one. You kick it so flat, you drill it right off someone's head. I think Swampscott and Cohasset won. Right, Tom?
Cohasset
won.
Division Tom? 7.
That little Division 7. They had, 13 players? They all played both ways?
Hey, dude, got to do what you got to do.
Got to win. That's right. Got to find a way to win the game. Be scrappy.
The Randolph game was Division 8. They beat Hull.
Hull.
The kid from
Hull.
No.
Hull?
H-U-L-L.
Hull?
Hull. The kid
What's
from
Hull? Hull.
Next to Cohasset.
Ha! Cohasset, Hingham, Scituate, I thought. Boom, boom, boom.
You didn't know Hull. You don't know where Hull is?
I don't know where. I've never been to Hull. Hull. That's South Shore, right?
Very much South Shore.
More Southern Milton. More Southern Milton,
very much South Shore. They got a lot of shore there.
Hull.
All of Nantasket is there.
Mostly shore.
Pan.
Yeah, mostly
Pan
shore.
Pan.
Actually, it's so much shore, it's shore on both sides of town.
Oh, wow. Both so you're like really
east
out there.
And west side of town are on the water.
Wow.
I'm sure you've boated past it.
I've boated past Hull.
Yeah, unfortunately, the kids from Hull couldn't get that punt off. So I did see the end of that. Bad news for the Patriots, though. Kyle Duggar's in COVID protocol.
Okay.
He showed up on the wire yesterday, which means in order for him to play on Monday night, he will need to post 2 negative COVID tests 24 hours apart between now and Monday night.
Correct.
Today's... Who gets back to work sooner, me or Kyle Duggar?
Kyle Duggar. Kyle Duggar. I believe he's going to play Monday night.
I have posted 6 negative COVID
you're
tests.
Just, they
to this
just
point.
Don't ever.
You haven't
you.
Had 6.
I have. I've taken 4 rapid ones and 2 actual, like,
I think
send
he
it
wakes
out,
up
get it back
he
a day
can't
later.
Can't wait to lick the next one. Like, 6. Yeah, give me the next one. Give me another one. Give me another one.
He's six tests.
Mr. Tester guy.
Why aren't you here? I don't get it.
I don't know.
He probably shows up at the fire department with like the four Dunkin' Donuts coffees for
I've got to go again this
weekend.
Hey,
Beetle's back. Comes Beetle again.
The boss told me I got to go back again this weekend.
Oh, my God.
So he needs two negative tests between now and Monday. You think he can do it?
Yes, I do.
I would not be so sure.
But are we sure he's even vaccinated? That's another thing.
I think the word is that he is.
I think it's leaning towards that, yes.
Yeah, I think the word is. The word is that he is. We're going to, for the sake of this conversation, we're going to assume he is because I'm pretty sure he is.
Well, we kind of knew when the one offensive lineman was out, and he was definitely going to be ruled out this game because, that's why. Yeah.
Yeah. So we've got to keep the fingers crossed
that
somehow he tests negative, which he could. He could have no symptoms and could be testing positive for a week or two and still not be able to come back until the 10 days are up. But at 10 days, no matter what, he gets to come back.
Hey, nothing he can do. It's what you collectively bargained for. And this is what the team, this is what the players agreed with the owners, and this is the way we were going to do it with the union. And these are the rules, and you got to abide by them. It is what it is.
Comes this at thing, a really, really going away. Bad time, though.
It does. It does. Look at Rodgers. I mean,
let's assume he doesn't play. Okay, he misses Monday night's game. And by the way, I think only out of the guys you could lose right now, let's do this first.
Okay,
where does he rank among the guys you could potentially lose for a game on the Patriots defense?
I'd say fourth or fifth.
Really, that far down?
Fourth, fifth, or sixth? Maybe even sixth.
I would go with Judon, J.C. Yes,
Jackson,
and I would have Duggar at third.
McCourty.
Yeah, I would have him three.
Mm. Yeah, McCourty.
McCourty does a lot.
I was though fourth.
McCourty, and with Hightower when he's right up on the edge, in this type of physical game, you need Dante in that front seven. I'm sorry.
All right, I guess you're right. Fourth most important guy in terms of guy you don't want to lose. All right, there's that. But is this some way to say, listen, Buffalo, listen, not even Buffalo, forget talking about Buffalo, talk about the world, all right? World. Okay, world. Let's talk about the media at large, the people that are or the Brandons in Boston who want to say that, you can't count Buffalo now because Tre'Davious White's done for the year. Well, now the Patriots will have someone missing that's pretty important to their defense. Right?
Yeah.
That
very,
even
very
enough?
Important. I'd say very important to your defense.
Is that enough to call it even Stevens here?
That's a pretty good swap.
I'm not saying he's as valuable as a corner and as valuable as Tre'Davious White. I'm just saying that there's a similarity in terms of losing an important defensive player.
You're doing the same thing over and over every single day, world.
Thank you. Thank you. The Patriots would be playing at a disadvantage defensively from what
you forget most of what you learned, world.
Oh, God. Don't do that anymore.
Ryan in Hudson has some news for us on Catholic Memorial. What do you got there, Ryan?
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up?
Just a big high school football fan.
Nice.
So the two guys for you to watch, Catholic Memorial, Boubacar Touré, he's committed to BC, 250-pound DN, and then Dontrell Jones, the running back, committed to BC as well. Two good players.
Oh, both are going to BC.
Keep an eye out for them.
Oh, great.
Yeah, both.
Thanks for the warning.
Not a fan of that.
They said they're big.
Yeah.
Check the birth certificates. Yeah.
Check the birth certificates. Yeah. Jones is listed at 5'9", 175.
That's the running back?
Mm. Yeah, it's the running back.
Yeah, be good students to get in there, huh?
Dontrell Jones.
Catholic Memorial? Mm-hmm. That's a Catholic real school, yeah.
Yeah, you got to do a lot of the testing. My buddy's kid had to go through all these rounds of testing.
Like T-Bone.
Well, yeah, they're in exam school.
Pardon me?
What, Beetle?
I said they're in exam school.
Hmm.
Catholic Conference.
What the hell does that mean?
I don't know. What does exam school mean?
I don't know.
You got to take an exam to get in?
I took exams, yeah.
To get into your high school?
No.
Okay, well, then
you just live in your town.
Then you didn't take exams.
That's what makes this type of game great. Because
I don't know, man. My friends that went to CM, I don't think they're all that smart. So I don't know. I'm not sure that you do have to be that smart.
So then the acceptance isn't really, then it's not hard to get into. I was told it was hard to get into.
I don't know.
They're going to be so pissed.
Yeah,
that I
when
said
it's
that.
Locked.
No, I'm serious. Yeah. What do you mean when it's locked?
It was a joke. It's hard to get into when the doors are locked.
Oh. Did they chain the doors on the inside?
Okay. Can we do the headlines, please?
Yep.
See, but that's the great thing about this type of game is you got a town that's going to show up.
I still need a line on it, damn it. I need a line on that game.
And these schools that pull from everywhere else really don't have a fan base or a backing or tradition. No, these schools that, like, the schools that recruit pull from all different areas.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Like, you don't have, like, oh, I'm going to go. You know, you go back to your old town, you see the same people over and over. Like, our old town's going to show up for this game. You know?
Yeah, but you live closer, too.
Yeah, I was going to say, you guys have the benefit of being so close.
We travel. We travel well. No, we always travel well.
You travel well to Foxborough, 10 minutes up the road?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there. Franklin. Yep.
That doesn't count as traveling. That's what we're saying.
You get in a car, you get in a car.
Okay, maybe that's you travel, but this doesn't, if you show up in, you know, in force for this game tonight, it doesn't count as the team traveling well, because it's, for some people, it's probably closer going to Gillette than it is going to the home field.
It is.
See?
Yeah. Parking's much easier. You have to walk to the Dunkin'.
Oh, God.
Can we do the headlines now?
Yeah, yeah. We can. Okay. We can. Go ahead. Have at it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Speaker. Zolak. Yeah. And Bertrand.
It's a Homer show. We are overwhelmingly positive. Bunch of honks.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Very, very positive sports show.
98.5.
Guilty as charged.
The Sports Hub.
So, Bedard, do you think the Patriots' defense, we've talked a lot about the quarterbacks and Josh Allen, are they up to the challenge of forcing Josh Allen into those mistakes and getting the bad guy in him to come out, the one who makes the mental mistakes?
Well, Kyle Duggar going on the COVID list threw a curveball at that, but I do think they have the personnel to overcome that. I think you just look back at last year, especially the first matchup with, you know, Cam Newton at quarterback. If Cam Newton doesn't allow that ball to be punched out, they probably go in there and win that game with a much lesser team. I think Josh Allen, some of the comments you heard that you played from the Monday Night Crew last year, I think those are Bill Belichick's real comments on Josh Allen, that I don't think he's very scared of him. I think he does think he can trick him. What's going to be interesting in this game to me, Trenny, is do they give him the Peyton Manning treatment? Do they sit back and say, we'll let you try to run all day? We don't think you can. Go ahead, you know, go on 15 play drives. We don't think you can go that far without messing up. And I think Belichick thinks this is very much in the wheelhouse of his defense.
The Bills make me wanna shout. Kick your heels up and shout. Throw your hands up and shout. Throw your head back and shout. Come on now, the Bills are making it happen now. Stand up now, come on and
Greg
shout.
Greg Bedard on with early edition, Trenny Kuznarek, NBC Sports Boston. Shout it right now, baby. Talking about Josh Allen, come on. Bills quarterback. A quarterback that we have been very critical of on this show, especially in his first year in the league. We crushed that guy.
Justifiably so.
Oh, we crushed him.
He looked Sam Darnold-like.
I thought he was a total dud. I thought he was going to be a complete failure in this league.
Bust.
And that obviously was the wrong take. That's not what he is. He's obviously much better than being a complete dud.
Dayball saved him. Brian Dayball saved him.
I would like hell for him to look really stupid on Monday night.
Yeah.
Just as a fan. I just want him to look dumb. I want him to be a dumb quarterback. I want him to make mistakes. I want him to turn it over. I want the Patriots to embarrass that guy.
Somebody asked me this on another show I did this morning. Who's this game mean more to from the psyche of it? It was a good question. I'm like, wow, it's Buffalo. It really is. Because nobody expected New England to be here at 8-4. Now all of a sudden, holy crap, they're back. We thought they went away. We thought they were dead. And now we got to deal with this crap again, them coming at 8-4. What if we play tight? What if we get upset at home in our own building in that awful weather? What does that say about us as a team? This will make them think. You beat them up there.
Ooh. What's the worst case scenario for each team if they lose Monday night? So Patriots lose Monday night. What happens?
Come back, win, get to the bye, get back. Your guys back, and you load up and
Try and beat them second
the
time around.
Go and beat the Colts. Right.
That's it. What happens if the Patriots go up there?
Oh, God.
And go up against a team that, as we highlighted yesterday, has been a 500 team as of late. And the Patriots go up there and embarrass them.
Super Bowl.
Get the bag out of them.
You're talking Super Bowl.
No. I'm talking about from a Buffalo perspective. How do they feel after that?
Oh, yeah.
Just what you just described. They're devastated.
Well, they're devastated because
they'll be like, move the team.
Monday night, it's your building. It's the build-up to it. It's your spot. You won the division last year. You're trending in the right direction. You're the team that's putting it together.
Yes.
And then the Patriots show up after they've put it together, and they go on this big, long winning streak, and they come in there and pound you.
Well, they've been putting it together for several years. It's not just last year with the Buffalo Bills. That team has been trending in the right direction for a few seasons now. And it's devastating because you'd be going up against a Patriots team that's been putting it together for 12 weeks. That's it. Last year, that team did not have it. We all saw it. I mean, it just wasn't happening for a variety of reasons. So for Buffalo, it's devastating, not just because, like you said, that what you won the division last year, you had a real shot at going deep.
It's your time.
This is your time. Yeah. You're supposed to build on what happened last year. It's not like you made it to the Super Bowl and lost, and now it's the expected drop-off.
Oh,
no,
man.
You got close, but not as close as you could. Now you get even closer this year. Maybe this is the year you do it, especially when the Chiefs have been struggling this year.
Right.
It's the AFC is like kind of up for grabs still. You get beat by the Patriots on Monday night. It's devastating for Buffalo.
Think about what like home field advantage can do for Buffalo in the playoffs too. Like this also knocks them out of that. Gives you five losses.
Great points though.
No, and it makes you think like wow, there's a lot of pressure on Buffalo in this game. I think you're going up there. You're riding up there with house money. And cuz no one expected you to be here.
I wouldn't call it house money because the math does change if they lose.
Right.
And the margin for error from the Patriots is shrinking if they lose.
I agree.
So I wouldn't say it's house money. I would just say that it's not as dire.
Yeah.
From the psyche standpoint that you bring up, it's not as damaging to the Patriots as it would be to the Bills.
Correct.
This is the one in their building on Monday night coming off the bye. They've got everything in their favor going into this one.
I had no clue.
Except, again, the Tre'Davious White injury. I understand that. But in terms of the setup of the game, they got a lot going on for themselves right now.
Yeah. When the schedule came out, first thing I looked at was Tampa. And then the second one that stuck out to me was this one. And this was before we knew what we were going to be. I'm like, oh, God, Buffalo Monday night. That's going to be hard. Like, when the schedule came out, months before the season started, like, holy crap, Buffalo on a Monday night? Great. Yeah, it's not really what you want. But you got to go up there and got to play it.
We'll talk to Celtics head coach Ime Udoka. He'll join us next on Zolak and Bertrand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Paulie in the truck.
The audience loves him so much.
Dude, I love you.
It's kind of creepy.
You've got me mesmerized, and I hang on every freaking word you say.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Niang floats it to the top of the circle. Tobias Harris, guarded by Horford, down to 4 seconds. Horford puts the body on it. Harris turning, floats it into the corner. Shot is in the air, blocked, and the Celtics have won the ball game. They could never get it near Joel Embiid.
Was that Al Horford that came up with
it?
The
was
block?
A brilliant performance by Al Horford from start to finish against his former team. And the Celtics score 88 and win.
Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 Sports Up. Sean Graney on the call of the Celtics win. Let's go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline and welcome in the head coach of the Boston Celtics. Ime Udoka is with us now. Hi, Ime. How are you?
Good. How you guys doing?
Good, coach. Congratulations on the win last night. And you heard right there on the call Sean Grandy crediting Al Horford. But it's really the combination of him, Robert, and Enos that you used to slow down Joel Embiid. Was that the plan going in last night?
Yeah, that was the plan. Obviously, he's a focal point for that team. We wanted to make his night tough, put a lot of big bodies on him and around him, you know, keep him off balance. And I think that three-headed monster, like you said, did the job, obviously holding to three for 17, 13 points. But It's total team effort. Everybody is swarming him, keeping him off balance and giving him different looks.
I just want to follow up on that real quick. You watch your team play multiple guys throughout the league. It seems like he's the type of guy that you could really frustrate if you got to make him work harder than he wants to. Is that fair to say? Meaning Embiid.
Yeah, definitely. Our thing was deny him the ball every chance we get, not let him get any deep post catches, which we did for the most part. And then, like I said, keep him off balance by giving him different looks. Some teams blitz him the whole game and he gets used to that, finds the shooters, but we mixed it in on depending on who was covering him. And so frustrated him at times, kept him off balance. We fouled him a little bit too much, let him bait us with some swipe throughs like he's really good at. But for the most part, 13 points for a guy that came back and scored 40 after COVID, it was a good night.
Ime, a month ago on November 2nd, your team was 2-5, off to a rocky start, had lost three straight. And since that point, you've played 15 games. You've gone 10-5. You've won five of the last seven, including the last two. Do you feel like things are settling down? Things are trending in the right direction? Do you like where your team is at right now?
Well, defensively, that was our focus early on. We felt even in the games we lost, some of the double overtimes, we had opportunities there. And so I was looking at more so the, not the result, but our progression throughout it. Taking into account that guys were out through preseason. So we talked about the first 5 to 10 games being extension of preseason where we could really sit down and get Al back, Jalen back from COVID and round out what we wanted to do in training camp. And so defensively, we picked it up since then. I think in the first 10 games, we got to where we wanted to be, and I think we're top five now defensively. Now we're trying to get our offense going so we don't have to hold teams to 87 every night. We can actually, get in the hundreds ourselves and have some comfortable wins.
I want to get back to Dennis Schroeder for a second, if it could, Coach. I'm really enjoying watching him play this season. Is he giving you more than what you thought he'd be able to give you? And I didn't watch him a whole lot with the Lakers last year, but previous seasons, like, yeah, he's a nice player. He's a fundamental piece of this team right now. I'm wondering if it's more than you had hoped for with Schroeder.
No, I wouldn't say so at all. I've seen him in several different roles over the years. The role we have him in is similar to what he did with Oklahoma City. They had Chris Paul and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander starting, and he would come off the bench, and all three of those guys averaged right around 20 points. And so he's filling that role for us. Obviously, he started a ton of games when Jalen and the guys were out. And this is what he's done for a majority of his career. Obviously, last year with the Lakers, you got a ball-dominant guy like LeBron James and Anthony Davis, so he didn't get the same looks. But we need him to do this, whether he's starting or coming off the bench, fulfill that role of another playmaker that can score and get guys the ball, and he's been done a great job so far.
All right, I got another Enos question for you. Have you got used to calling him Freedom yet? Like at practice, if he screws up, you can't say, hey, Cantor, get in there. You know, hey, Freedom, slide your feet. You know what I mean? Did you break his balls yet?
We're getting there for sure. Okay. The funny thing, when we put the initials on the board for who's going to be in the game and drawing up a play, it's EF now instead of EK. And my coaches had erased that a few times last night. But, funny story, like in Toronto, Will Hardy was – I told Will to get Ennis in the game, and he yells down, Freedom, you're in. And everybody kind of looks around. He's like, there's only one – Freedom here. And so yeah, we're joking with it, but we're definitely happy for him. Like I said, we showed the video for the team, him getting the citizenship, and gave him a round of applause. And like I said, it's a long process that he's been looking forward to for a long time, so we're all happy for him.
What was your reaction last night? I know you shared the conversation that you had with Jason Tatum in the first quarter. You had said that you told him it'd be nice if he hit a shot, and he sort of fired back with, yeah, but I have 9 rebounds. What was your reaction when he said that back?
Basically, touche. You're doing the things that we're asking you to do, impacting the game when your shot's not falling, similar to what he did in Toronto with 10 assists and 9, I think 7 rebounds there on a tough scoring night. But as you see, he's always gonna come around and finish the game 9 for 20, 26 points and 16 rebounds. So he added to that, but he's a guy that impacts the game several different ways. If a shot's not going, we're encouraging him to do other things like he can, offensively, defensively, and he brought it home for us. I mean, him and Dennis really down the stretch got it going, so credit to him for staying with it, and we always know his offense is going to come.
All right, I'm sitting there watching a post game. Here, Jason bring it up that, yeah, there was a report out there about an unnamed coach that said he's a selfish player. Obviously, it bugged him hearing that. Do you have to deal with him on, like, I know he's still a young player, but this guy's a veteran now. Do you even have to talk to him about that? You know, and I hate the unnamed report stuff.
Yeah, not at all. Okay. We know what we've talked about every day. We know what we've encouraged him to be and what he's doing every day. So the guys see it every night. And like I said, the result isn't always there if we don't make the shots on his kickouts. He knows the attention he's going to draw every night. Teams have doubled him. San Antonio went to a box and one on him. So he's willing to get rid of the ball and trust his teammates. And like I said, if the intent is there behind the passing and making the right play and they don't make a shot, that's nothing to do with him. He's doing the right thing.
Celtics coach Ime Udoka with us. Your relationship with him is often described by those who cover the team as you're close with him. You're close with Jason Tatum because of, you know, obviously having some experience together before. Are you closest with him out of all the guys on the roster?
Yeah, I would say yes, because of this summer. We really got closer in Japan and in Las Vegas going to the Olympics. You know, obviously I knew him, Jalen, Jason, and Marcus from China before. But us spending this time together over the summer, that month or so, got a little closer, talked a little bit more. You know, with all my guys, I try to take them out to dinner on the road. And so me and Jason got together in Toronto and had a dinner. And so it's a great relationship. I try to have the same with the rest of the guys, but we have spent the most time together out of the group.
All right, Ime. Well, we appreciate the time and good luck over the next month now, because this is a schedule that does not get any easier for you.
Hey, as long as we got our guys back, we got a good chance. Like I mentioned yesterday, we've had our team back 6 games now, and so last night, hopefully going forward, we can keep the full roster rolling.
Excellent.
All right, Ime. All right. See you, Coach. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Ime Udoka on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline.
That schedule is brutal next week.
Oh, that's nasty, my God.
Is it 6 games over the course of 8 days, Friday to Friday?
Yep.
So they start Friday in Utah. And then they've got back-to-backs, and then back-to-backs again Tuesday, Wednesday next week.
What did Brown play last night? Like, it was, what, around 30 minutes? Like, his hamstring's not back to 100% yet. You could tell. So you're gonna need that dude next week, too. So they gotta keep an eye on that. They don't want that to be a problem year long.
Yeah, I'm looking right now. This is Friday, Saturday, Utah and Portland. Tuesday, Wednesday,
Johnny Utah,
Lakers and Clippers, and then Friday in Phoenix. And then they get the weekend off before they come home and play Milwaukee. Oh, good.
Oh, joy. Phone lines are wide open for you, 617-779-0985.
Yeah, but they have 5 days off before Golden State. No. Again, scheduling.
We've got calls coming up. Also, a little more on the Patriots. We'll continue our discussion on that, so don't go anywhere. We're right back. Mm.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.